Hi there. This is Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're a couple takes on MS. I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And what we're looking to talk about today, as the world is emerging from the COVID-19 pandemic, it's just a question, you know, you feel like you've been stuck in neutral. It's time to put it into drive. And just, we are going to talk about, as a person living with MS, or knowing somebody living with MS, are you ready to come out of the lockdown and pandemic and enter the rest of the world? But first, what we talked about when we left the last episode, we were going to talk about disease-modifying therapies, because I'm in line to get and go on Ocrevus as my disease-modifying therapy, but things didn't go as well as I had hoped.
And I think it's very important that we just mention that we're sitting here today. It's the first day of spring, and we're doing this, and it's beautiful outside, and our socially distant, masked up producer Ryan is here joining us.
Hello.
And we're just talking. Hello, Ryan.
See, I just proved I'm wearing a mask. Can you hear it?
Yeah. Beautiful. And we're just talking about like the future. And I thought by the first day of spring, certainly you would have done your new disease modifying therapy. So, Mr. Digman, what gives?
That's a great question, Mrs. Digman. It really, it's contingent on everything going through with my insurance, with the infusion center, just to get everything lined up, because I originally was going to get, or it was scheduled to do the infusion down where my neurologist is in Ann Arbor, but that's like 2.5 hours away. We can do the infusion right here in Mount Pleasant, but they had to transfer all the orders from Ann Arbor up here to Mount Pleasant, and that's just been a mess. It's just the complications, and it seems really weird that you have two entities that are all within the same health system, that things just don't automatically transfer.
And they're not working together. And it's frustrating me as your wife, because again, I thought certainly by the beginning of spring, Dan would be on a new DMT and he'd be rocking it and it would be amazing. But what is it like for you to not, I mean, how many weeks have you been without medication to slow the progression and lessen the severity of your multiple sclerosis?
Well, and as you know, that I've been diagnosed with MS for 22 years. And for the 20 plus years, I've been taking Betaseron, like injectable medication. And that was obviously working well for me. However, taking a shot every other day for 20 plus years, you run out of room to give yourself a shot. And when I had given myself a shot the one night, and I hit something, like a nerve or something in my leg, and there was no marking, no bruising on my leg, but it hurt, and I was having a hard time transferring because I couldn't put any pressure on the leg. And you called the beta nurse. You go see your physician, and Dr. Steppleton said, there's nothing there. And I'm like, but dude, this hurts really bad. And so I just stopped. And I'm not giving medical advice out there in listener land, so don't take this as like, oh, but Digman did this. But it's just I stopped.
Is that what you think listeners sound like? Only the views of Dan Digman don't necessarily reflect this podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, no, but I'm feeling like
you do have 20 plus years under your belt, and you have a lot of experience, and you were very happy with your Betaseron.
Thrilled,
which is surprising because it was an
every other day injection.
God, like every other day injection.
I honestly, and this is a fact, because I looked into this at one, it was probably like 3 months ago, long before I hurt my leg with my injections. And I was just like, I tried to do the numbers and figuring, you know, we talk about shots and taking my shot injection, but I, you know, then I'm always joking. It's like, oh, if I took a shot, like a shot of whiskey, with every shot that I took for my injectable medication hat, at that point in time, over 20 plus years, I would have drank over 15 gallons of whiskey.
And that is a way to deal with your multiple sclerosis. I don't highly recommend.
No, that, and that is not recommended, but it is just the joke with the shot kind of thing. Different. Yes. But anyway, back to the topic. I needed something different, and I had been honestly considering for the better part of a year and a half, looking into Ocrevus or another disease modifying therapy, because my body can't handle any more injections. And so you start looking into the oral medicines, the infusions, and you, Jennifer, are taking the Rituxan, which is an infusion very similar to Ocrevus, of like once every 6 months getting an infusion rather than going every other day taking a shot. And I, you know, my neurologist, bless her heart, she's a great neurologist, and she got the Ocrevus prescribed, but then it's all the paperwork and it's all the background and all the back end things of getting insurance approval, getting, you know, obviously then permission to transfer from one hospital up here to Mount Pleasant. And it's just been more complicated than I really felt it should be. And so, yeah, after the last podcast, we talked about, oh, well, Dan Digman will be on his new DMT. Dan Digman's still waiting.
And the waiting is just taking longer than it should, but I'm hopeful that Monday morning we will get a phone call. Yes, Dan, you are scheduled to take your infusion, and this will start a trajectory of no more every other day injection, no site reactions, and that you will handle this. Because as you said, I'm taking Rituxan. Again, we're not advocating for any particular medication. Just we think you should be on something if you're living with multiple sclerosis. But that's our two cents. But I take the Rituxan every 6 months, and it's so nice not to rub it in because you can't get it right now. But just I take it, and then I don't think about it for 6 whole months. I take my baclofen, which is just symptom management every day. But other than that, I take some other medication, but I don't have to think about my multiple sclerosis, treating it for 6 months. And that's really nice. So that's why I'm so impatient. And I'm like, Dan, have you called the hospital? Have you checked? And you were like, woman, settle down. It'll happen when it happens.
Well, and you know, you just get to that point where, yes, you need to be your own best advocate as a patient, but at the same time, you realize there's only so much that the people at the local infusion center can do when things are in other people's courts, and you can push and encourage. And it's getting closer, but this is the downside now, is that with things, when you're talking about disease-modifying therapies, then enter COVID vaccine.
That darn disease, that if COVID-19, you just want to call it for what it is, it has just put wrenches in all of our plans, and certainly how you are going to schedule a COVID-19 vaccine with a disease modifying therapy. One of the quote unquote big guns, you know, one of the larger B cell depleting. I think that's,
I believe so. Like with that, but that's the thing, as people are talking about, and this is, I understand it, and we're not giving medical advice. We're not giving things. A lot of this is our interpretation and things that we have heard and read. And if you have any questions out there in listener land about your treatment and the COVID vaccine, obviously the direct place to do is check with your neurologist, talk to your physicians about this. But I do know that the National MS Society has some directives out there on what can and can't happen, what you should and shouldn't do in terms of disease-modifying therapies and the COVID vaccine. I think that's where, when all of this was first coming out after Pfizer came out, and they came out then with Moderna and now Johnson & Johnson, but when it started to come out, there was all this talk about what will and won't work. And I wasn't concerned because I knew for a fact that my beta serum that I was taking did not put me at any risk or harm with the COVID vaccine. And so I'm like, I got my thing. Whereas you, Jennifer, on your Rituxan, there were causes for concern. But then now that I'm going on to the Ocrevus, yeah, there's cause for concern. And so then it's just reevaluating everything. I kept pushing, thinking I needed to get my Ocrevus infusion because, yeah, it's been probably about 3 months since I took any DMT with the beta serum after it hurt my leg. And now it's just like you look and it's taking so long to get on the Ocrevus.
Would you be better off getting your COVID vaccine? And so those are questions that I'm sure when we talk about finally doing your Ocrevus, we will have established that. But we live in Michigan and we are under 50, which has been the age that most people who have received the vaccine are older than. So how will we, living with multiple sclerosis, move forward with getting the vaccine?
And that's where I need to put, you know, obviously now it's like, I've got to look at this because then there's like this whole thing of delaying before. And that's why I haven't jumped back into my beta serum because I'm like, well, what if you have to like get that flush out of your system before you go on Ocrevus? Well, then I'm just like, well, that was a wasted shot. And if I get COVID vaccine now, how much longer will that delay my going on the Ocrevus? I mean, these are things, and we joke about this in like other meetings where we participate in, but it's just like, you remember the day when it was all you had to worry about was having multiple sclerosis and how much easier, you know, and it's a joke because it's not easy, but just how much easier when you didn't have to worry about COVID on top of MS, or all you had to worry about was MS.
Right. And that is, we'll see what happens in the next few weeks, but weeks are precious amounts of time.
But then that leads to this as far as being stuck in neutral, you know, and where we are, it's almost like you're taxiing at the runway, just waiting for somebody to say, you know, Jennifer Digman, you're clear for takeoff. And now it's time. And that's the whole thing with the COVID vaccine, with things opening up again. But then it's just a question for those of us living with multiple sclerosis. Are we ready to enter the world again?
Are we ready to take off?
But we're going to take a break right now, but then we will get into talking about being stuck in neutral and putting it into drive and moving forward in the post-pandemic world. And are we ready? We'll be right back. All right, well, welcome back. I wanted to just also say thank you to everybody who has been listening. We've gotten some good feedback and a lot of new listeners. Really appreciate it. And what we want to do is, if you have any comments, check us out on our Twitter, is at DanGenDig.
Wherever you listen, if you want to give us a review, that's fine too, or leave a comment there. But there's also, if you want to get involved in the show, there's a producer email that I have. It is actomspodcast@gmail.com. So if you have questions for Dan and Jen that you want them to answer, or topics you want us to talk about, just fire that email off and we'll bring it here and see how it goes. And Jen, you wanted to lead off on the post-COVID talk?
There is going to be a life post-COVID. I had a life before COVID and I will get back to it. And I'm a little freaked out. I don't know if I'm the only person. I highly doubt it. But I just feel that for this past year, I've been trapped inside my house. Not literally trapped. Dan's not like chaining me up or anything, but...
Blink twice if you need help.
What's my safe word? But it's just, you know, I have been trapped here and I'm stuck in neutral, like you had said, that I'm not going anywhere. I'm not moving forward. And I wanted to talk about what does that look like when we actually can go places, and what is the reality of life post-pandemic?
And that raises a great question in that everybody's so focused wanting to quote-unquote return to normal, return our lives to normal. If we were given the green light today, what would that look like? And would you feel safe? Would you be willing? Are you ready to do that? To me, I wholeheartedly say no.
And I'm almost uncomfortable when I'm watching television shows and there are people walking in places in public and they're not wearing masks because it could be a show from 10 years ago. And where's the mask? What are you doing? You know, why are you not like socially distant? And it just feels like I sincerely am anxious. I know when Dan and I got and we took a drive, my caregiver Jen, normally we go to the grocery store, we do things like that in the morning where there's very little traffic, and Dan and I went for a drive in the middle of the day and there were so many cars and there were so many people out and about, and I was so anxious and I almost turned into Rain Man in the car. I wanted to scream. I was just like so overwhelmed. And I'm thinking, is this something where I'm going to have to baby step back into the world? Where I'm going to have to force myself to go for rides in the car? Like I'm a
Jennifer,
puppy dog.
You want to go for a ride?
Puppy dog ride? Or something. But where you do get out and where you see what the real world looks like, eat in public or go to stores. I mean, for you, we're going to go back to church in a few weeks.
And that week, because we had that discussion with the worship and music ministry about how will it look, are we going back to church in person? Because for the last, you know, 5-6 months, it's all been done virtually. Are we really ready to go back in person? Me, no. I think even if we get to a point where we are back in person and we're outside, and even if people are wearing masks, I don't know. And this is just the hypothetical or just the thinking out loud. So we had just talked about the Ocrevus and, you know, taking that and when I will be able to get a vaccine. And it's just like, so as the rest of the world is getting vaccinated and everyone has double vaccines and they're single if you're doing the Johnson & Johnson, whatever, but everybody else is vaccinated, you're going to have people like me who isn't. And it's just like, are people going to be careful enough at that point? Or am I just putting myself at greater risk because I won't have the vaccine and everybody else is vaccinated, but they still could be carrying the virus?
Is this putting the onus on you? Like, if you don't want to get COVID-19, just keep your butt home.
Well, and so then that, I think those are the things are when you're really going to feel it. Like right now, or for the last year, everybody's been locked down. So you weren't any different than any other person. But then all of a sudden, boom, everybody else is vaccinated. Oh, sure, you could go out, but are you willing to take that risk? And I'm just like, I don't know if I am. And so how will that look once we're free to move about the country?
And especially with anti-vax people, if everybody's free to walk around, I mean, this sounds really bad, but I kind of want like a branding situation to be like, yes, I have the vaccine. Like they have to have a mark on them or something. Just so I look at people not wearing masks. And even if you apparently have the vaccine, like there's still that window where you can get it and transmit it or whatever. And just seeing people without masks, I right now like instantly just and walk the other direction because like I am paranoid about getting sick.
Yeah. And I'm paranoid about Dan getting sick. I'm paranoid about me getting sick, but heaven forbid if one of us gets sick, potentially the other one will, but then what will that do to our caregiving situation? If I'm sick and you can't have someone to help with simple things around the house, or if I can't have you to help me with my transfers in and out of bed, in and out of the restroom, bathing, I mean, that's gonna just totally upset our world. And we've made it this far, and if we put our guard down now, what's that going to look like? And like you said, Ryan, and you've alluded to Dan, where we're just gonna be so afraid of our fellow human beings, and hello, you're invading my personal space. Personal space has a totally new meaning in a COVID society. What do you mean you're 6 inches from me? Get away, get away. I know when I go to the grocery store and if somebody's looking and reaching over my wheelchair for something, I'm like, please don't breathe on me. Please don't breathe on me.
Yeah, that would bug me in like regular time.
Yeah.
Like, but could you back up a foot?
And it's so typical, and I roll around in my wheelchair like I have a barrier around me, because kind of I do, but that invisible barrier does not protect me from COVID. So it is a little scary.
Do you think, though, that maybe some of this and our fear, our paranoia, if that's what we want to call it, or just the uneasiness, the uncertainties, is that where it's, and I know I've told you this story before. You haven't heard it, right? When I was a little kid, and say little kid, I had to have been at least, 16 to drive. But it was like when my friend Steve and I were going to go fishing at like 5 a.m. because we'd found a really good fishing hole. And that night before we left, I was so freaked out that one of us, it's like 5 a.m, if one of us falls in the river, if Steve falls in, would I be able to save him? And I went downstairs into the basement and we had a jump rope downstairs, and I put it in my tackle box. And I thought, well, but that way, if Steve falls in, I can at least throw him the rope and catch him. And you're so, you just, it gets in your head. But then it's like, come 5 a.m, I'm out there. I'm thinking, what the heck were you so freaked out about, dude? Just this is fine. There's nothing. But it's just like you're so amped up and fearing of the worst that can happen.
And I feel like we're trying to be socially responsible and watching the news and staying informed. But at the same time, is watching the news and staying informed what is freaking us out and making us this cautious? But we're certainly not alone, because again, we were watching the news last night and we heard some crazy statistics about how, I mean, I know personally I've gained weight. And
same.
Yeah, it's just like comfort is food and or alcohol. So what?
Or both.
Or both.
And since we're in Michigan, also marijuana.
Oh, see.
It's legal. Yes.
No.
Well, but it was, and these were statistics, and I'll cite my source in the true graduate school fashion, but it was, we're watching NBC Nightly News, and these were numbers that they had gotten from the American Psychological Association. But with the pandemic, as far as people in this study, 42% reported that they've gained weight during the pandemic, and of that, the 42%, the average weight gain was 29 pounds. And they're also saying then that 53% say that they're less physically active, and that 67% said they're not sleeping right. And 23%, almost 1 in 4, reported drinking more alcohol as a result of the pandemic.
I don't know if it's pandemic stress or pandemic boredom, because nothing is better than food, cookies, junk food, just a comfort food. But I know that the beer we're drinking, you can look out in our garage, and of course we can't take bottles back or cans back, so we look like we have problems, but that is just another issue in and of itself when society opens back and we have to take all our beer cans back. But I think that you deal with it because you're bored and you're uncomfortable, maybe to a certain extent, because I love you, Dan, and I enjoy spending time with you.
I love you, but...
Well, it's not really I love you, but it's just the fact you need more social interaction. And because we've been locked down, and there are probably people listening to this who are saying, well, get out and be with people, but I'm cautious and I'm concerned because I don't want to bring something home to you, or I don't even... As I've said in the past, it's like the great big boogeyman. So I need to get over my anxiety and start getting involved. And the first step will be getting back to church, which is so funny that we're talking about increased drinking and increased, like, not sleeping. And I think we just need to get rooted back in the things that got us here in the first place. It's just our faith and that I want to get back to normalcy, whatever that looks like.
And that's where it starts. And that's where I know a lot of things with the pandemic, as far as like people working remotely, not being there. It's just like, and I joke, but I was working remotely before it was cool. Yeah, I mean, because that's my job. I work remotely, and I had been working remotely with a company for probably 2 years before the pandemic hit. That's just how you do it. But the reality is, sure, I'm at home all day working, but then we were able to go to church meetings, go out with friends for dinner, for drinks, whatever, go to plays, go to baseball games, go to concerts. All that's been taken away. Now we have to work our way back into it. And I think that's the thing, one thing that we did a lot of. You don't realize how much you actually did travel until you don't travel anymore. And that's the thing, the thought of going to see my family back in Iowa. We do that every summer for the 4th of July. In the best case scenario, I start my Ocrevus, I get a vaccine, everybody's vaccinated. Am I really going to be up for driving 10 hours back to Iowa? I mean, and that's where we're so out of shape, you know, travel-wise, that it's like the thought of being stuck in a van for 10 hours, even if it's with you, comma, my love.
Yes.
It's just, you know, the thought that that's a long drive, and, you know.
It's a long drive, and there's so many unknowns, and I don't. It will be interesting, and we will do it, and I have to believe we need to push ourselves to do it, just like me getting out in the car and not freaking out. This is what you've done. For heaven's sakes, I'm 46 years old. I've been in cars. I've been fine. I don't know why everything is exacerbated, to use a friendly MS word. Everything seems so much more extreme and so much more frightening, and everything, emotions are so at the surface. I mean, everything's at the top, and normally you can push it down, but right now you're just right there and you just want to scream more than I want to scream a lot more than I ever have, because I'm frustrated and lonely, and you just, it'll be interesting to get back. And I see people on the news burning their masks because mask protocols have been lifted in other parts of the country. And I'm thinking, what are you doing? And I don't want to make this a political thing because that's not my intent.
Masks shouldn't be a political thing.
No, but it is, Ryan. And I just want to stay healthy. I want to keep my loved ones healthy. I want to see my parents, who I haven't hugged in, gosh, over a year. I want to hug your parents, Dan. I want to make that trip to Iowa. And it seems like, for heaven's sakes, feels like we're going to the moon or something. Like, oh my God, we're just making a drive to Iowa that we've done umpteen times over the course of our marriage, but I am so unsettled. And just talking about it, it's making me say, what are you freaking out about? It's no big deal.
Just that's the one thing that I, that's about this whole thing that's bugged me, is the fight of it has become a political thing. It's like, no, it's a virus. It doesn't care who you are. Just fight it. Worry about humans later. Let's get this thing done.
Right.
It's like polio isn't a thing anymore. Measles aren't a thing anymore. It's because it was killing everybody. And like, hey, let's fix this. It's like, come on.
And you're right. It's not political.
But it's one of those things when you're living with multiple sclerosis for over 2 decades and you're saying, they haven't fixed this. Why the hell do you think they're going to fix COVID-19 so quickly? And that's, I'm sure there are other people out there living with MS, living with other chronic illnesses, that you feel, you just, are we going to be wearing masks till I'm 70? You know, I don't know. Have we turned a corner? And this normal that we keep wanting is gone.
My sister lives in Vegas, and I was out there for a little while visiting her, and this was before lockdown stuff. I think, like, I saw the WHO post in January, and I was out there visiting her, and we were just walking around, and, like, the, you know, like, Asian people generally, when they're some traveling, a lot of them wear masks all the time, just out of precaution and safety. And that's one thing I'm kind of excited about, is now me wearing a mask on a plane won't be weird to anybody else, because I'm just like, you know what? Every time I'm on a plane, I get paranoid about germs anyway, because you're rebreathing everyone else's air in the system or whatever. And it's like, if I can wear a mask the whole time on a plane, I will be a happy boy. Hopefully that's a thing that sticks around. Just, you know, situational mask where it's, you know, you don't look at somebody weird. It's like, why are they wearing a mask?
They must be sick.
Yeah, 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 exactly, yeah.
Well, and I think, too, when
or they're robbing a bank.
That, yeah, too.
I don't have the data to support this or to back it up, but I think just, you know, what we've seen on the news, but the number of flu cases aren't as prevalent this year, or weren't as prevalent, or, you know, just the common cold, because people are wearing masks.
And it's so funny, because I think it was you, Dan, that said that, like, oh, they're wearing a mask, they must be sick. And now it's like, no, I'm wearing a mask because I want to stay healthy.
Nice.
Nice.
Thank you. Every once in a while, I can have, you know, just those moments where you're thinking that person is doing this because they want to stay healthy, or because I want to hug my 70-something father and mother. You know, I want to stay healthy for that. So I will continue wearing masks, and I, of course, will continue washing my hands and probably social distancing, because, again, I'm in a wheelchair. People don't generally try and get that close to me in the first place. You know, they respect my space. And I hope that that continues so that we can get better and get back into life and address the fact that we're drinking more and eating more and not sleeping well. And as gyms open up, we can say we're getting activity and the weather gets nicer. It is the beginning of spring. There is good weather outside. We can go out and we can walk and we can start taking better care of ourselves. I look forward to that.
So then what does that look like? I mean, obviously we've talked about the anxieties, the fears, the uncertainties, the uneasiness and everything. Everything, quote unquote, returns back to normal. What's the first thing you will do, Jennifer?
I really want to go back to church. I miss my church family. I miss seeing people. And as much as I want to do it, I'm a little worried that I'm a hugger. And my first instinct will be to, like, drive up to people and expect a hug. And I know I can't do that. So as much as I want to go back to church, and will go back to church, I have to, like, strap my arms down or something like that. So I know that I will do that. I would like to travel, because that was really fun. And if we can't drive 10 hours to Iowa to see our family, which is a reality. You have multiple sclerosis, and I no longer drive, so all the responsibility for driving relies solely on your shoulders, Dan. So if we can't drive, then I want to fly to Iowa because I want to see my family, my in-laws. And so that's what I want to do. What about you, Dan? What do you want to do, and what realistically are you going to do?
Well, yeah, I want to drive back to Iowa. I mean, I want to see my family. What am I going to do? I mean, when things truly open up and I'm vaccinated and I just want to go to the bar. I'm not saying that as a watering hole kind of thing, but it's like, that's where, you know, think of the friends that you go to the bar with and you just have good times eating food, drinking, and just to be there where you're just like relaxing, just stepping away from reality, at least for a little while, just eating and drinking with your friends.
Yeah. What about you, Ryan?
The thing that is occurring to me, just because I think about the weird crap like this sometimes, is I get this idea that like when stuff fully opens up, just like a clear cut mark, everyone in the country has the vaccine. Let's say that magically happens somehow.
It will.
But like everybody that, you know, or just even if it was like just in one bar, it's like, okay, verified. Everyone in this bar has a vaccine. We're all good. You will not get sick today. Everybody have fun. And then I can imagine that thing at like the end of a movie where everyone stands up and claps.
Absolutely.
If they do that, I'm going to walk the out of the bar. Because like I do want to go, but that sort of like yay sort of like, no, let's just sit and drink and have just conversation.
And it's so funny that you say that, because I look forward to the day that I can roll my wheelchair into Celebration Cinemas, see a movie, and damn straight they better everybody get up and clap when we do it, because I think that's gonna be, I'm hokey like you, Ryan. Okay. I've got a few years on you. When you get old, you get a little soft.
Okay.
But I think that's what it was when I was a kid in the 80s, and where you would go see a movie and you would like applaud if it was a good one. If it was a stinker, you would just leave, and you would leave your popcorn shrapnel all over the floor. But yeah, I think that I want to be, you know, for as much as we can say that, like, oh, it's such a pain in the ass to have to go here to do this, I miss that. I miss my community. I miss people.
Well, now I sound like a curmudgeon.
Yeah. But see, what's so funny is I'm older than you, so I should be curmudgeon-y. But I miss going places. So I think that'll be fun.
Well, and you think we are social people, and I come back to that time we were at Freddy's, and there was a couple there, and they were there celebrating his 40th birthday. We don't know these people, but they're sitting next to us at his 40th birthday, and you're just like, and you buy them a round of shots.
Yeah.
Because it's your birthday.
Yeah,
sure. And then they in turn, and then they order a round of shots. We're in with them and we're drinking with these people we just met. And you're just
and
having
fun. And we're hugging
fun.
Them before hugging we them. Leave the bar.
Yeah, because
I know, Ryan, it's just that's how Dan and I are. We're social, and
but it is, yeah, it's like you're social and you don't realize, because I always thought I was an introvert and stuff. It's like, no. In the right places, yeah, I'm very extroverted, and it's just like you're having fun, and it was a dude's 40th birthday. It's like, that's so cool.
Yeah,
maybe the lockdown will end by my 40th birthday and we can go to Freddy's and have a bunch of shots.
There we go. And I would say I would hold your hair back, but that's a very girl thing to do. Yeah.
And I don't have any hair, so we're good.
So we're good. But I think it will change, and we will get back to some sort of normal. And we need to focus on just how great our life can be. Because if we don't, we won't move forward. We will stay stuck in neutral.
Think of this then, as you're driving, when you're driving, to put it into drive, you have to put the brake on first. and then put it in to dry. Get a look at the land and then you know, drive forward cautiously. Don't hit the gas full on.
You need or the grass. Easier.
Yeah, that. Yeah. Yeah. Well, but you know, but you ease your way into. You don't go from 0 to 60 in 4 seconds. You know.
Well, that's like Weight Watchers. They're the program formerly known as Weight Watchers. No, it's WW. And I'm not going right now because it doesn't feel socially responsible, even though they're practicing good hygiene and social distancing. But I don't want to take you, Dan, who hasn't been going out and about in the world very much. I don't want to say, oh, let's go to a meeting where you have to be there. Certainly not because you need Weight Watchers, but because for me to weigh, you have to pick, you know, you have to help me stand up and get on a scale. And that's how we weigh, is it's both of us. But it feels irresponsible to do that to you. But when the world opens up, which we're so close because they are meeting, I will need to go back. I have to stop the insanity that is that is just letting myself just enjoy a lockdown, a pandemic, and celebrate with food and beer. You know, I have to get back to that, and that will make me feel better. That conversely will help my multiple sclerosis and help you as a caregiver. So that I should not just think of traveling and going to church. I should think about some of the things that I can do that'll help us both. Thank you for joining us today. It's been a great conversation. And Dan, Ryan, and I hope you join us for our next episode where we're going to talk about the hopefully nice weather and tips for staying cool as it warms up.
So that episode will be on April 22nd. And until then, you can follow us on our website, acoupletakesonms.com. And for the podcast, you can listen on the website or you can look on your favorite app and download things from there. Until next time, this has been Dan Digman.
Jennifer Digman.
And we're a couple takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward.